Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're happy you're with us here this evening, this Sunday, December 7th, 2025, right here on New Visions Radio. You can catch us here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA. Ed, right before we turn the mics on, I mentioned that December 7th in the United States is a pretty significant day, or at least it used to be.
Sure.
And I was thinking about that Pearl Harbor Day.
Right.
There was a major war that started as a result of
Japan attacked the Pearl Harbor in Hawaii.
Yeah. And in a ministry, we don't talk about things like that often, but the whole purpose of God's kingdom is to do away with things like that.
Yes.
That will never be again once God's kingdom comes. I don't know that there's a lot of emphasis put on that now, but when I was a kid, it was a big deal. And I talked to a man quite a few years ago that he remembers. He lives right here in town. His name was Mr. Marple. Not Marble, but Marple. And when I would do a lot of door-to-door ministry, I would stop to visit him from time to time. And he says, I remember where I was. He lived in Stanton when that day occurred. And it had these things, these tragedies, these wars, these things that happen have a major impact on us. You know, I understood why he would remember it, but after experiencing 9/11, I remember right where I was when I heard that. And I look forward to God's kingdom when all those things are gone. But anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it's, to some people listening, it might be still a significant day. Ed, we've had a serious turn of weather here recently.
Yes. Quite cold.
It got really cold. We've had a little bit of just a little bit of ice and a little slipperiness. How have things been going with you?
Life goes on. You know, you get a day older every day. Just, that's what happens, you know.
Yeah.
But we have this opportunity. Well, we're still breathing and talking to spread the gospel.
Amen.
To give people hope in their lives. The same hope that we've experienced ourselves.
Yeah, and that's why we do this program each week, is to encourage people, get them to open their Bibles and read it. We're grateful to Ray Powers for allowing us to be here on this network. And, you know, you and I have been in ministry for a long time, and tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. We are been at this location since 2015 in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. Drop by and see us.
Yeah.
We have our services on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for prayer time / Bible study. And then we have our worship services on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath,
Amen.
Where we have Sabbath school, our Bible study, at 9:30, which is available via Zoom and live stream. And we have our church service, our worship hour at 11, available via live stream.
And that's each week. And if you would like to participate in the Bible study or the Sabbath school, if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com, or you can just send us a general email to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, if you want a Bible, we are all about making sure people have copies of the Bible. Email us, and we will do whatever we can to get a Bible in your hands. And you know, this is something that God has blessed us with as a ministry, that we want everyone to have a Bible so that as we read these texts, you can follow along. Because and it happens sometimes I'll read a sentence and I might leave out a word. Not on purpose. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do it on purpose in a sermon.
See if people are paying attention.
Right. It's just to kind of change it up a little bit and see, no, that's not what it says. But sometimes I just accidentally skip a word or change a word. And this way you can look at it. And if anybody has a question or a comment about it, send us an email and we'll try to address those things. Our website, prophecyhope.com. Visit there, and you will notice that there are a number of sermons on there, and it's pretty interesting if you just go on and type in a topic. You type in a topic.
Yeah.
you type in a topic or a word, whatever it is, if it has to do with begotten son or maybe death or whatever it is, Sabbath, whatever the topic, type it in, and you can find a sermon likely on pretty much on many, many topics. Let's just put it that way. So are we ready, Ed, to get started?
I think so.
All right. Would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, again, we are thankful for the gift of your word, the Bible, and the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, whereby we have salvation. Through his death on the cross, we're reconciled to you, but we're saved by his life that he wants to live inside each one of us. Mm-hmm. Father, as we study about the life of Christ, as we listen to his words, the words that you gave him to say, may it bring hope to our lives. May it bring instruction to our lives. And may we see the beauty of the love that you have for us and the love that Jesus has for us. Father, we ask that you give us wisdom and understanding as we read these things and to guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, you know, we've been doing this study on the life and ministry of Jesus, and this is the fifth one. It doesn't seem like it's been that many.
No, it doesn't.
Because there's so much information here. There's so much to learn about Jesus and who he is, what he did when he was on the earth. Where did we leave off last week?
Well, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We had talked about the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. We had talked about light. And now we're going to the next little section of my Bible is Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20.
Okay.
And so maybe if you could read that, Mark, we can spend some time talking about that.
Sure. It says, and now I'm reading from the New King James, Matthew 5, beginning in verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. So I want to make clear, this is Jesus speaking.
All right.
I'm going to start that over again so everybody knows. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.
You know, this first verse, verse 17, mm-hmm. Often a misunderstood verse.
Yes.
Often used to declare that God's law has been done away with. You have a little interaction with someone about this verse. You want
yes,
to share that?
I did. It's interesting because it was about the time that I just recognized that the Sabbath is a holy day. It's one
right.
of the commandments of God.
Right.
Now, again, for those of you who have heard me say this, it still has a huge impact on me because I had read the commandments many times, but for some reason, the fourth one about the Sabbath, because of the way my church taught me, just it didn't sink in.
Right.
So I was sharing with a friend of mine who went to my former church. I was sharing him what I had learned. And he says, oh, well, you don't have to do that anymore. And I said, well, why not? He says, well, that's part of the law. The law was done away. I said, where do you find that in the Bible? And he looked at this verse. And he says, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And I said, well, what does that mean, to fulfill? And he says, well, that means to do away with it or destroy it. And I said, well, let's put your word there. Okay. And I said, I did not come to destroy, but to destroy. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, that doesn't make sense, does it? And I said, no, it doesn't. So what does it mean, Ed, when it says to fulfill? I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
To live it,
ah.
To be obedient to his Father, to show that the law of God is for our benefit, for our protection against sin and evil in this world. If you you follow the commandments like do not kill.
Right.
Do not steal. Mm-hmm. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. Do not have any other gods before me. These all are to our benefit.
That's right.
Not only with our interaction with each other, but with our interaction with God. How can God bless you if you worship another god?
So true. And Jesus, he came and demonstrated to us. That's what he means by fulfill. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to demonstrate to you how to do this, that it can be done. And, you know, you think about it, the word fulfill, if you flip it around, it means to fill fully. And that's what he did. He came and he did it according to the way God wants it done.
Can I add a verse that might help too? In Luke chapter 24.
Sure.
And we can look at verses 44 through 47. Luke chapter 24. And this is the King James version that I have. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is after Christ's resurrection, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. And he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, and this addresses a couple things, mm-hmm. that the verse you read in Matthew 5:17 talks about he didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets, but he came to fulfill. Jesus' life fulfilled the words of the prophets that prophesied about his coming, right. about his work on this earth, and about, you know, salvation through him.
Mm-hmm.
But in verse 47 of Luke 24, it says that repentance or remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. The Bible makes it clear that sin is the transgression of God's law.
Right.
And that word repentance means turning away from sin, turning away from breaking God's law. And remission of sin is forgiveness of sin for doing that. This is the gospel. This is what God desires of. This is why Jesus was sent, not only to give us forgiveness of sins, but to have become obedient and repent from our sins.
Absolutely. And back in Matthew chapter 5, what we read, when it says, for assuredly I say to you in verse 18, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to ask this question, Ed. Has all been fulfilled? Has all been fulfilled? No. We're still living in this world.
We're still living in Bible times.
That's correct. So all hasn't been fulfilled. So this is saying that the law still stands.
So when we look at Matthew 5:19, it says, therefore, whoever shall relax one of these commandments, mm-hmm. the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We're not only supposed to teach them, but also do them.
That's correct. Yeah, it's not just a matter of... See, this was the problem with the Pharisees. they would teach them, but they weren't necessarily doing them. On the outside, it looked like they were doing it, but in their hearts, they were rottenness to the core in many ways. And so, also, I want to back up because... Right before we turned these mics on, you were just kind of reviewing what we were going mm-hmm. to do. And you made a comment about verse 17.
Yes, I didn't see it until I was waiting for us to start, and I saw that first line. The first line of Matthew 5:17 says, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. The words of the prophets, some of those things still haven't happened yet.
That's right.
And when churches and preachers teach that God's law has done away with, why don't they teach that these prophets and their prophecies have been done away with?
See, that's the danger, Ed. And I mentioned to you that the church that I grew up in has, they've taken this and wiped this away. They've wiped the commandments away, mm-hmm. saying that, well, that word fulfill means something different, like mm-hmm. the man that I was talking to. He was a member of that church.
Right.
And then they also wipe away, they believe that the prophecies have been fulfilled in the past and we're just waiting for one. But they say, there's no more prophecy. Prophecy doesn't happen anymore. And it's really, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to listen to the church rather than read these words are right here.
You're talking, the whole book of Daniel's done away with.
True.
The book of Revelation's done away with.
Yeah. The book of Psalms.
Paul's preaching about Christ's coming is done away with.
Yeah. Because he hasn't come back. He's coming again. The Bible tells us that. And see, that's the other danger. Jesus gave so many warnings, even in the Sermon on the Mount and then again in Matthew 24, about not being deceived. If people say that here's the Christ or there, do not believe right. it, right? That's what he says mm-hmm. in Matthew 24. I grew up believing that he had already come secretly.
Right.
And he warns about that. If they say that I'm in the inner chamber, don't believe it.
Yeah.
What, and, you know, having grown up in that, I didn't know anything any different. But once I started reading the Bible, and it's hard to discount your church when right. you've grown up in it all of your life. Ed, you know that. Mm-hmm. I know that. Some of you who are listening to this may not realize that yet, and you may know it. But if you just read your Bible and see what it says, trust that God can send the Spirit of truth into your heart as you pray. Mm-hmm. Every time we come together, Ed, you pray for that.
You know, Mark, I don't know that there's any other church that teaches the organization that you grew up in. Those same things.
Right, yeah.
And most of the other churches teach that God's law was done away with. Specifically, their beef or their dispute is with the Sabbath.
Right. It was the same with my church.
Yeah. But I don't know of any other church besides your church that teaches that the prophets and prophecies have been done away with.
Yeah, the church that I grew up in, I'm no part of it now. I came out of her.
Mm-hmm.
They teach that prophesying's done away, that all of these things are just wiped out. And they use a text, they misapply a Bible text to arrive right. at that conclusion.
My point being is, many churches say that the law of God has been done away with, but they claim the prophets and the prophecies are still in effect.
Yeah.
And it says, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. So according to your friend, Jesus came to destroy the law, but not the prophets.
Well, yeah, I guess that's the case. You know, if I were to pin him down, he would have to go back to the church doctrine, and
yeah.
that's what so many do.
Right.
If you keep questioning, they go back to the doctrine rather than just rely on Scripture.
Right. So, you know, it's important to understand that Jesus did not come and die on this earth so that we could continue in sin.
I know.
That would be pointless. He came to die on this earth, his blood, to pay the penalty for my sin, which the penalty of sin is death, to give me an opportunity for salvation. But that opportunity for salvation doesn't consist of continuing to live in sin.
Right.
If that's the case, there's no point in Christ to have come if we continue to live in sin.
Sure. See, but this is the modern-day church, and I think maybe even the churches of old, a lot of them, they use the death of Christ as an excuse. They use the death and resurrection of Christ as an excuse to, well, I can keep doing this because Jesus loves me and he forgives me.
Yes, he does. But he also wants to change you, to empower you, to experience life as God created us to experience it.
That's it.
Look at just the world we live in right now, in December of 2025. All the war and the hate and the killing and the violence and the political upheaval mm-hmm. and how men interact with each other in terms of, you know, driving down the road.
Yeah, immorality is rampant.
Yeah.
Good
is now called evil, and evil is called good.
It's so true. I mean, we have leaders in this country of the United States, I'm sure in other countries too, but this country is supposedly, I believe it was, built on Christian principles.
Mm-hmm.
And we have leaders that are doing things that are just diametrically opposed to anything that God or Jesus would stand for.
Right.
And they're trying to pass laws to allow things to happen that are evil, evil things.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is very concerning to me when I see that we just here in Virginia where we are, we have a governor that's just been elected by the people
mm-hmm.
that wants abortion to be legalized mm-hmm. completely, and also believes in post-birth abortion. In other words, a child is born,
and they want to kill it,
and they have time to decide, do I want this baby or not? And if they don't, they can murder that child, and they're calling it abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And abortion itself is murder.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the world where these things become normal and people vote for this. Jesus has to come soon.
Yeah.
He really does. There's just so many things. And this is why when we read these Beatitudes that we read last week, all of these things, people are experiencing these things now, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who hunger, right? People are experiencing that now.
Yes.
But in spite of the world that we live in, Jesus is saying, hey, you can be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You can be happy in spite of our surroundings.
You know, we had a recent ministry meeting that was much needed. And in that, in our conversation, we had talked about Revelation 14.
Mm.
And I want to go to Revelation 14. This Revelation 14 has messages from three different angels. And really, it's one of the last warnings to the world before Christ comes. And of all the things that's prophesied in Revelation 13 and 14 about the experience of those that are going to, at that time, that are following God, is going to be extremely difficult. But in Revelation 14:12, and I want to open the King James.
Sure.
It says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's going to take patient endurance during that time as a follower of God
mm-hmm.
to experience everything that's going to happen and just be patient, understand that God is in control and that Christ is coming and all this will be done away with.
Amen.
So the other day, I looked up that word patience in the Greek. It says cheerful or hopeful endurance, consistency, patient continuance, waiting.
Hmm. The first word?
Cheerful.
Hmm. Isn't that what Jesus said in the Beatitudes? Happy, right? We talked about blessed means happy.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's difficult to imagine when those prophecies come to fulfillment of Revelation 13 to be happy during that, cheerful. You know, but with God, you have to have your faith in God and the promises of His Word and the understanding and experience of God and His Son's Christ's love for you that will allow you to be cheerful, hopeful,
yeah,
endurance.
Ed, I think a big part of it is where is our focus?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm constantly listening to the news and taking in the propaganda of the world, it's going to make me worried and bitter,
mm-hmm.
even if I know God's word, it can do that. So where is my focus? Do I focus on those things or do I put my eyes on Jesus and say, you know what? I'm going to read God's word today. I'm going to turn off the racket of the news mm-hmm. and just see what God has to say to me in His word. This can change your whole attitude, your whole outlook on life, your whole demeanor can change because of the hope that we have.
I think we need to understand that the things that are happening in the world are prophesied to happen.
Yes.
And they're going to happen, giving men, mankind, the opportunity to choose. Who do you worship? Who are you going to obey? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to follow?
You know, sometimes people don't realize how good they have it until something bad happens.
Right.
And so God can use this time to make people realize their need. We need more than what this life offers.
Mm-hmm.
Because while life might be good for some, there might be people that they have plenty of money, they've had really good health. Let a tragedy hit them. You know, I was just, my wife and I were talking just the other week. There was a TV star that everybody knows who got cancer and died.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that. The millions of dollars that that person had, they would have laid that down in a second for another couple of days of pain-free life,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to be able to overcome this. You cannot buy those things. But Jesus gives us the kingdom free. He gives us life's water, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have the water of life we can have for free if we just come to Christ. And so all of the things that we look for in this world, and I'm not saying don't have a good job, don't try to have nice things,
mm-hmm.
but where are your priorities? And this is why Jesus gave these Beatitudes. This is why we have this Sermon on the Mount, to help us to focus on the right thing.
Part of the time God has given us right now is the opportunity to prepare for Christ's coming, to make changes in our life,
mm-hmm.
to make changes in how we interact with each other, to make changes in what we value, to be prepared for Christ's coming, to
Amen.
Be acceptable through the power of Christ living in us to change us, to empower us to overcome sin in our life, to overcome evil in our lives.
And it doesn't mean that when you do that, that everything gets easy.
Oh, no, it's not.
It's not easy.
No.
Sometimes the pressures become even more. And that's not to discourage you. It's just to prepare you. But let me ask you, Ed, I know there have been some things that have come up in your life. Have you ever regretted following Christ, knowing that some of the pressures come from the fact that you follow Christ?
No, because I've learned so much more about the love of God and what he's made available to me to be successful in my walk with him.
Mm.
And the beauty of that, that I never saw or understood before, it's actually has enabled and encouraged me to want these things, to strive these things, whereas before I didn't understand how that could happen.
Yeah, I think it's that way with a lot of things in life. Until you have experienced it, words can't explain it. And this is especially true with, more than anything else, this is especially true with just following the Word of God
mm-hmm.
and learning who he is and learning who Jesus is and learning what they offer us.
You know, the Word of God will change you.
Mm.
If you spend time in it. I had been studying the Bible with some friends in another state. And our ministry is not perfect. We go through some challenges.
Sure. That's
and
true.
We've had a challenge in our ministry. And it came apparent to them that we were being challenged.
Mm.
And we spent about 2 hours talking. And basically, they were doing 95% or more of the talking. They were counseling me. And I was encouraged by them. When I'm supposed to be leading the Bible study, I was encouraged
right.
by them. And it brought me to understanding the power of God's Word that had made changes in their lives. They are maturing as Christians.
Hmm.
They are now able to counsel others and apply the principles of God's Word and not only to their own lives, but encourage others to do the same.
Amen.
And that was very refreshing and encouraging to me.
It is.
To know that God is using us to make a difference in other people's lives, including ours.
Sure. And that's the thing. As God can make a difference in our lives individual, you can help others to see these same things.
Right.
And just because you are a Bible teacher and you teach people doesn't mean that you can't learn.
Right.
We learn constantly.
Right.
And what a lesson we learned from the counsel that you received and shared with us, mm-hmm. because we needed the counsel too.
Right.
We all did. And so this is the beauty of walking with Jesus. And this is why he gave us these words. This is why he said these words. All of these things, with the Beatitudes, with where we're going to go next, he warns us that, look, sin is always going to be, like, just like God warned Cain, sin is crouching at the door.
Right.
Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says in the New King James. Sin is crouching at the door. And Satan, he doesn't necessarily show himself to you. He wants to sneak up on you and see if he can overtake you.
Right.
And that can happen subtly. And it can happen within a church or a ministry or within a family. It can happen to an individual.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we continually turn to God's word for reproof, for setting things straight, so that we can be righteous in God's eyes and not in the eyes of men.
Right. And there's no way we can attain our own righteousness.
No.
And then we call it self-righteousness. You know, you've heard of a self-righteous person, mm-hmm. you know? There's no way we can attain that ourselves because of, unfortunately, what we have inherited in our human nature. This law of sin that dwells within us, that we find that we do the things we don't want to do and not do the things that we want to do, that Paul talks about in Romans 7. And, of course, the answer to that issue is having the Spirit of Christ in us, to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh.
You know, I'm thinking when Jesus came here to the earth and he's experiencing what we experience.
Yes.
It makes me wonder, he's thinking, boy, this human condition is not what I expected, maybe.
Could be,
you know, because he had to live it. And that's what's so beautiful about it, is that he did it and he overcame, and he's trying to help us to have his experience to overcome.
Yeah. He came to do the will of his Father. He put his trust in his Father. He was obedient. His Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you want to use, gave him words to speak. This is part of the prophecy we just read about. He came to fulfill the law of the prophets. Deuteronomy 18, God is telling Moses, you know, when the children of Israel said, we don't want to hear God speak anymore because we're afraid that we'll die. He said, well, you know, they're saying a good thing. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a prophet like you, and I will put my words into his mouth. And those that don't hear him, I will require it of him. That prophecy is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Yes.
Jesus says, I only speak the words my Father gave me to speak. The doctrine I teach is not my own doctrine, but my Father, the one who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And so his trust and faith was totally in his Father, even in the most difficult times. Look at his challenge in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
He prayed to his Father, said, if possible, let this cup pass from me.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can do this. I don't want to do this. But then he said, your will be done, not mine.
Right.
Think of him on the cross and all the physical suffering of that, and yet the sins of my sins were laid upon him as if he had done those sins. He was experienced the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment of my sins. And yet he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
His trust was in his Father.
Yeah.
That perfect trust, that perfect faith. We read Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. His faith was in his Father. We need to have the same faith that he had.
And we can experience that.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. And this is why he lives now, to help us to have that experience. And it's just, I don't know that people, a lot of times, I know that I didn't, Ed, all of my life, I'd never considered much of what you just said, mm-hmm. because I was just in the routine of going to church. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, I listen to the sermon and maybe give a sermon, you know, and just go on. But this is a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a routine or a ritual.
Right. Faith is a challenge.
It is.
We were having a study the other day, and we were looking at the law of God still being in effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about the law of Moses. The law of Moses is just what Moses had written down, taking dictation from God. It's from God. It's right. Not from Moses.
It was God's words, yes. Not Moses' words.
And part of that, and a lot of people have difficulty with this, is what you should eat and not eat.
Right.
And there's someone asked the question, well, what if you're in the middle of the desert and there's nothing around you? See, she named some animal that was considered unclean according right. to God's word. And she said, what do you do? Is it okay to eat it? And I immediately just thought, well, the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they were in the middle of the desert with nothing around them.
Yes.
Right, and God provided for them. And so I asked this person, do you think God would provide for you? And this person hesitated for quite a bit and then said yes. When I ask that question, in the back of my mind, I'm asking myself, do I have that kind of faith myself? Do I have that kind of faith that God is going to provide for me when it seems impossible?
The time to make the decision is not then. The time to make the decision that you're going to follow God and His Son is now.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've talked about this, and I don't know if we've talked about it here, Ed, but we have talked about when Daniel and the three Hebrews, their mind was made up before they ever were tried. They knew who their God was, right? Mm-hmm. They knew who they worshiped. They knew this is what God said. And when they were put on trial and it was time to suffer the consequence, they didn't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, well, what am I going to do?
Right.
Am I going to follow God or not? And I think that's why knowing these things, reading these accounts, seeing how God came through, just like you said, He provided for those people. Do you trust that He will provide for you? And we might get to that point to where we have to, it's either obey God or obey men.
Right.
What are we going to do?
You know, there's a verse that has always stood out to me in Daniel chapter 1. And this is Daniel as a young, maybe an older teenager, a young middle-aged mm-hmm. teenager or a young man who's been taken captive to the kingdom of Babylon. And he's been chosen because maybe of his heritage, being more royalty as well as, you know, there's children that were chosen to be groomed
right.
to be educated in the ways of the Babylonians. And part of that, as they were going through this education, they were to eat of the king's table. Now, I'm sure some of that food was unclean.
Oh, I'm sure.
It included the wine that was available there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some of that food had been offered to idols. And so verse 8 of Daniel 1, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He decided ahead of time, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. He knew. That's the point. We have to know. Make our decision now.
Yeah.
And because if he didn't know, he could have been easily persuaded to do something different.
Sure.
And that's the danger. Yeah, I love that verse too. Yeah, mine says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Yeah.
So God's law is for our protection.
Amen.
It's for our instruction in this life. It's to give us life more abundantly today, if we would just follow it.
I think people, they don't think of life more abundantly. They look at the law. You know, we read, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And they think, but it's so restrictive. I've had people say that. In fact, I was one of those people when I saw the Sabbath and what is required of us. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I thought, wow, that means I've got to give up something that I like.
You know, you used a different, interesting word there. What was required of us? Some who enjoy the Sabbath, and I know that was your initial impression when you were challenged by the Sabbath.
Yeah.
But now you look at it as an enjoyment, a benefit.
Huge blessing.
You don't look at it as a requirement.
No, I don't. I don't. I look at it as a benefit.
Yes.
You know, all of us, that's one thing that everybody wants is health benefits, right? Right. That's the first thing they ask. If they're going to get it, do I get health benefits? Well, let me tell you, in the kingdom of God, you get the best benefits you could ever have. Yeah. And if you live by those things now, just like when you talked about Daniel and those foods, mm-hmm. and you get benefits today from following God's law.
Right. You know, I heard a story. I've heard different versions of it. Like you're maybe on a plane and someone you're sitting to, and you start chatting and mm-hmm. you find out a little bit about each other, and someone may ask you, "What kind of work do you do, or who do you work for?" And according to the story, this gentleman was a preacher. He said, "Well, the man I work for has a lot of cattle. He's a rancher, because God has the cattle on 1,000 hills." and my boss, he's into flood and fire insurance. And it goes on like that, because he's working for God, for the kingdom of God.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good.
God saved Noah from the flood because he was obedient. Grace, Noah found grace in God's sight.
Yeah.
There's fire insurance. You don't have to experience the lake of fire.
You think, and the three Hebrews were in the fire, right? And we go back to the 10 plagues and look at how God worked mightily and protected his people from all of those things. And Ed, it's my understanding of the Bible is that while we may live through the 7 last plagues, that God will, just like you mentioned about those people in the desert, he can give us that same protection now.
Look at the life of Jesus Christ here on this earth. Mm. Part of the plan of salvation was to have Jesus Christ, the Son of God, experience what we experience. He was challenged. He was tested.
Yes.
Do we not expect to have to go through the same thing to prove who we are?
Right. I mean, that's really what's happening here. I don't think that people really analyze the situation and realize that Satan he's quarantined here.
Yeah.
So all of the things that he did to Jesus, he will likely try on us.
Yeah.
The same temptations, and you know, he'll put things before us. And what are we going to do if Satan says, "Hey, go ahead and do this"? Are we going to say, "You know, that does look pretty appealing"? Or am I going to say, "Well, God says"?
Right.
Because Jesus never said, "Well, you know, it does look appealing to me." He always said, "God says, the scripture says, the prophets say," right? He quoted from the Bible. That's what he did. And how can we quote from something that we're not familiar with?
Right. Or maybe don't believe.
Or don't believe. That's correct. If we don't know it or we don't believe it, if we don't have Christ to help us with these things, we will fail miserably.
Yeah.
And so these things, all of these words in Matthew chapter 5, all these things we're going to consider, all these words were from Jesus, which you mentioned earlier, his Father gave him.
Right.
He spoke the words of his Father.
Right. Why don't we continue on in Matthew 5? The next section is verses 21 through 26.
Okay.
The heading in my Bible says anger.
You know what mine says? It says murder begins in the heart.
Okay.
That's what it says. So are you reading?
Why don't you read that section for us?
Okay,
please?
So this is Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, and I'll read through 26.
Okay.
It says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly." Yeah, let me read that again. "Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to judge, or to the judge. The judge hands you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny."
So, really, some of the information here that Jesus gives us, it says, you know, before someone murders someone, it begins in their heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's that decision, that the anger that builds up to the point where over a period of time, maybe quickly or maybe over a long period of time, it caused them to commit murder.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jesus is saying, well, you know, the actual act isn't the only problem. What you have in your heart, the anger you have with your brother in your heart, you'll come under the same judgment, because that's what it leads to. We've talked about before that whatever is in you, mm-hmm. given enough pressure,
it's going to come out.
Will come out. Your character will come out, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and it's not going to be the way that it should.
Right.
You can liken it to a tube of toothpaste with a cap on it. And if you squeeze it hard enough, eventually toothpaste is going to come out,
yeah.
but probably not out of the where it's supposed to
right.
come. And that's the problem. It's going to come out, and it's going to come out in a violent way or in a way that it shouldn't.
So this is the reason we need a change of heart. God promises that he would take away our stony heart and give us a heart of flesh, a malleable heart, a moldable heart.
Right.
So we can experience this changed life through this promise of the Son of God living in us.
Hmm.
A new man, a new creation.
Yes, with a new heart.
Yes. And what is the new covenant? That God will write his laws in our hearts and minds.
Right. It doesn't. So if he does write that on my heart and mind, how can he do away with it?
Right.
how is it done away? How can we say, well, that's wiped out? No, if he's writing it on your heart, it means that he wants us to do it, that we will do it.
There's a lot of confusion about the old and new covenant, and we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
But those very people that talk about the law of God's been done away with, they say we're a New Testament Christian.
Or right.
Testament is another word for covenant.
Right.
Yet they don't know what the new covenant even is, because it's God writing his laws in our hearts and minds.
And I think that, again, it comes down to this a word that a lot of people don't like. It's just obedience.
Yes.
Obedience to God's law. Just doing the things that he asks of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are commandments, but he doesn't force them. He commands them, but he doesn't force them. It's our choice. Mm-hmm. You have a choice. Make the choice. Choose life.
Yes. This is, you're talking about Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, where God takes them to two different mountains. One is Mount Elba, the other one, Mount Gerizim?
Gerizim, yeah.
Yes. And one mountain, God gives them the information about the blessing he will give them. And the other mountain is the information about the curse. And it's based on their obedience. Mm-hmm. And in a summary, Moses said, I've presented death to you and I've presented life. I presented the curse of God and the blessings of God. Choose life.
Yeah.
Choose to be obedient to God.
How often do we present that to people and say, look, just make a decision, make a choice. Yeah. You know, choose this one. It's always, this is much better. No, it's not easy. Who was I talking to? I was talking to someone the other day and they said, I've heard you say that being, it was one of my Bible studies. He says, I've heard you say being a Christian is not easy. He says, and I'm experiencing that because he says, it seems like when I'm trying to do right, the devil puts more pressure on me.
Yes.
And that's what Paul experienced.
Yes.
That's what Jesus experienced. So we can't think that we're going to be immune from that.
Right.
It's going to happen.
You know, growing up, and I don't know why I used to think this as maybe a teenager or maybe before that, that when you became a follower of Jesus Christ, everything was going to be great.
Hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people have that perception. Yeah.
It's not real life. The devil is still going around like a roaring lion, seeking who can he devour. And the ones who he has in his prison house, he's not so worried about.
Right.
It's the ones that are in there that he's trying to take captive.
He already has them, right?
Yeah.
And so... You know, what you said something that triggered a thought about right before you said the prison house, you were talking about.
And the devil comes around like a roaring lion.
Yeah, seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. He does go after those who want to do the will of God. That's what he does. Because like you said, he already has the others. And this is why the devil already had Cain. So what did he do? He had Cain go after Abel.
Right.
He already had him. And again, it was what was in Cain's heart,
right.
What we were talking about just a moment ago.
Anger. Yeah.
The anger. And that's what it festered, and he kept thinking about it. And God was pleading with him.
I think people don't understand that when someone walks with Christ, walks in the Spirit, that can irritate other people.
That's true.
Because it's really a demonstration of where they are in their life.
Mm.
And it brings maybe some accountability to them that they don't like.
Oh, of course it does. Yeah, think about Paul and the things that he went through once he turned to Christ, the ridicule that he got.
The very people he worked with and for and believed the same thing in persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ, now those same people began to persecute him and
yes.
put him in prison and beat him.
And so this could very well happen if you choose to follow Christ and you say, you know, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And even if sometimes people do it under the radar, but when people start to see the difference in your character, the difference in your personality from the things that you're learning.
There's power in the Word of God that will change you.
There is. And you might not even realize that you're making these changes sometimes until you look back and you say, I didn't realize that that was having an effect on me. And people might see it. Some of your peers, some of your workmates might see it. And they might not like it. They might tell you they don't like it.
Again, a story we've told before, someone we knew who had great changes in this person's life, and their friends were literally holding their arms out because this person wouldn't go and do what she had done with them before. And said, we want the old person to come back.
Right.
Come back to us.
Yeah. And that's really, the devil is using those people to pull you away. That's the way it is. So, you know, what's in the heart? Out of the abundance of the heart,
the mouth speaks.
The mouth speaks. And so it was revealed what was in those people's hearts that was taunting that person, and it was revealed what was in that person's heart when they refused to go along.
Right.
And so eventually, put it under enough pressure, either way, whatever's in your heart's going to come out. And sometimes it's not good.
Right.
Sometimes it's not good. Ed, we have about a minute left. Is there anything you would like to sum up here in this study? We've started here with the Beatitudes the other week. Christ fulfills the law is what my Bible says, but we know what that means now.
You know, I think the biggest challenge as a ministry that we encounter is this false belief that God's law has been done away with, and that you can't be obedient to God, that it's impossible.
That's what people teach.
Churches teach that. Denominations teach that. They don't understand the basics of the gospel that we find in the book of Romans in chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8, where the death of Christ reconciles us to his Father, but we have a life to still live.
Yes.
We need help in that life. The devil is still trying to deceive us. So we're saved by the life of Christ.
Amen.
The life he wants to live in us.
So I would recommend, Ed, that people read those chapters of Romans. And we'll come back here next week, and we'll pick up in Matthew chapter 5. Okay? And we're actually out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Okay. Father in heaven, what a blessing it is to open your word here this evening and just to see the words on the page and see how much you love us. Father, we just ask that you will help us to be able to make the decision now. Help us to choose life. Help those who are listening to just open your word and see the words on the page and accept Christ into their hearts. And Father, I just ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. We thank you for every gift you give us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks again for leading this study. And friends, we hope you'll tune in next week, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.